Clubhouse.
There's a bad bug going round. I'm going underground. Gonna hunker in my bunker with you.
And that was Hunker in My Bunker by Dave Del Monte and the Cross County Boys. Today we're doing a podcast for you called Prepared, Not Panicked. We're talking about the coronavirus and what's going on today and what you can do to be prepared. Today we have Wendy Del Monte, and she is here as a writer, former president of New Milford CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Team, homeschooling mom and mental health advocate, but most of all, she is prepared, people. And that is why we are bringing her to you today. Because we want to make sure that you guys know what you should have and how you cannot be panicked during this time of craziness, this very unpredictable time. So, hey, Wendy, how are you?
Hey, Caroline, how you doing?
I am doing great. We met in the most ironic way when I look at this podcast.
It's true.
We met from a TV show called Colony, which was a very like end of the world scenario, people prepping and supplies and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And this is like your bag.
Yeah,
right?
It totally is. I mean, my whole thing is, for a long time, I had written a blog about post-apocalyptic book reviews. My family thinks I'm the happiest when I'm reading or watching a show about the end of the world. So this is a little bit freaking me out, not going to lie. But I'm ready. One of the reasons why I'm so pulled to post-apocalyptic things is because what's important to remember is there's always someone who lives. There's always a way out. There's always some good happening. And there's always a lesson to learn.
I love it. That's very Mr. Rogers when he says, look for the helpers.
That's
like
right.
When you're in an emergency, there's a lot of bad shit happening, but look for the helpers. And
it's
that
true.
Is where you need to focus. So Wendy is a helper. And so today she's going to help us know what are supplies that we need to have in our house. This is going to be a two-part podcast where at first we're going to talk to you guys about sort of, I'm going to say like the practical side of things, what you need to have, where you could get resources, a checklist, that type of thing. And next time in part two, we'll talk about the emotional, mental impact that all this has on us and our kids and how we can better handle all of that. So let's dive in, Wendy. Talk to us a little bit about, did you expect this to happen? Is this the type of thing that you sort of calculated for, or is this a variation on what you thought?
Well, I'm going to be truthful. I've been watching this from the very beginning of January. You know, we have a great big group of people that talk a lot about stuff like this, and we read a big authors group and writers group. So there are certain things that you always prepare for, but now that it's here, it definitely feels absolutely surreal. The thing is that you need to be prepared for anything. I do think that if I had to think of something that was going to go down, I would have thought it would have either been a pandemic or some sort of biological event or an EMP or solar flare. Those are the two things I thought, well, something like that could happen. But I don't subscribe to the tin hat volcanoes are going to erupt. Or
no, you're not that prepper.
I'm not that prepper, no.
You're not the one that we all like skirt a little bit like, oh boy.
I know, but not I'll tell you, I'm friends with a lot of those preppers and they're like, see, I told you.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
So how is this different when it's something that's like a biological thing like that versus say like a hurricane or a tornado or something like that?
In a tornado or a hurricane, it's only affecting a small group of people, right? The people in that area, in that town. Like my daddy lives in Texas. So in that last hurricane, it kind of just pretty much wiped out the whole Southeast Texas. But it was just Southeast Texas. Or a tornado comes and it just hits a certain area. Or here in the Northeast, we get crazy blizzards and I'm stuck on my mountain. But that's a small amount of people for a small amount of time. This is big. This is huge. At this point now, we're in the whole world is affected by this. There's no escaping. This virus is going to hit everybody, every place in the world, I think.
So tell us, what do we need to do to learn how to prepare? What can we be doing? How did you learn how to prepare?
The first thing that got me was when I was a kid, not that I'm old now, but when I was much younger, I read The Stand by Stephen King. And that's what started me on my whole post-apocalyptic journey. And from that, I thought, well, what would happen if something happened and I wasn't prepared? Then Y2K happened. I was newly married. I said to my husband, do you think maybe we should get some canned goods just in case? And of course, nothing happened, but I realized that I felt much more comfortable with it. So from that on, I started looking for different ways to make sure that I was ready for things that could happen. So in the event of a snowstorm here, it's really funny. It happens all the time when we get blizzards. Everybody runs out for bread, milk, and eggs because everybody, I guess, has to have French toast. But because I think ahead, I have stuff in my house, you know, not crazy. I don't have a storage room full of stuff, but I have enough stuff in my house to keep my family going for a little while. So
there you are.
Well, it just died.
I don't know.
That's all right.
Internet is being a pig. I feel like everyone in the free world is on the internet right now trying to get information and whatnot.
It's
so
true.
I feel like everybody's computers and internet is like running so slow and so sketchy.
I agree.
Weird side effect of people being sick that you don't really think about, you know?
There are so many things going on with this particular virus. It's not all about just getting sick. This comes from me as someone who's immunocompromised and who has my daughter is also immunocompromised. So I am pretty much already self-quarantining and staying home as much as I can just to stay out of, you know, harm's way. But, you know, I serve on our town CERT team, and I got an email from our entire town is run by a volunteer firefighting, you know, volunteer and ambulance corps. So, you know, they sent out an email saying, hey, you know, we're doing extra things, and don't get panicked if you see somebody coming out in hazmat suits. You know, we're protecting ourselves. So it goes beyond getting sick yourself. It's, you know, what happens if the helpers are sick and they can't come out? Or, you know, another group said that, you know, most truck drivers have rules and regulations in which they can only drive a certain amount of time, because they have to stay well conditioned or whatever. But now they've relaxed those rules so that they can drive for much longer periods of time because there's such a call for stuff.
Supplies,
people need,
right.
Yeah, people need supplies. People were not prepared, and they're not prepared. You know, they're
so that's crazy. So that's a totally other like unintended consequence is that, you know, you could have truck drivers who are not alert and everything because they're doing more. Certainly that seems like a huge problem. So tell me, we were talking a little bit about how did you learn how to do this, and tell me a little bit about CERT and what that is and what that does.
Of course. CERT is Community Emergency Response Team. They are all over the world, actually, but ours, everyone is different. And ours in our town, we basically are responsible for opening and running shelters when in the need of them. And we help whenever needed. We also do firefighter rehab, which means when we have a fire emergency, since we have so many volunteers, we have an ambulance that has been retrofit so that it can be used to help firemen out if they get too tired. But anyway, so CERT, basically we help when we have to be. We are trained. It's a national organization, and you can learn more at our CERT website. That's newmilfordcert.com. And it has the whole history of CERT. Basically, it was set up in overseas by people who were trained to help out in the event of earthquakes. And somebody there saw it and brought it over here. So now we have lots of ways for different people in the United States to help out.
I love that. That's not, it seems almost like a volunteer or like, I want to say like civilian, like Red Cross kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's a civilian helper. Like I would love to be a firefighter or an EM. But I don't have the time or the resources to take all that training and give that much of myself. But with CERT, I'm able to give as much as I can. So that's what I do. I try to help out my town however I can. And we do quite a bit. And CERTs everywhere do different things.
That's awesome. So is that where you got your training, or is this through reading or research, or how did you become well versed in how to be a prepper?
All of the above, actually. I joined CERT to extend my training. I wanted to learn more. I actually learned a lot through reading. I have a big group of authors that I love that write amazing post-apocalyptic fiction that if you read them, a lot of them give you ways to help yourself and prepare. So they might describe a scene in which someone was leaving their house because of a situation, and they had their bob or a bug out bag and what's in it. And they're very detailed about what's in it so that you know what you might want to put in yours.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. So really you can pick up information anywhere.
For sure, you can. You could totally look. There's a couple of authors I really love. There's one author, his name is Boyd Craven, and he writes a bunch of different books, but I love his Opus series, and it's really appropriate for all ages. But, you know, not little kids, but, you know, high school kids. There's no crazy violence in it. There's no crazy sex scenes in it. You know, that's one of his more boring books, honestly. No.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding, but it does give lots lots of information of ways to prepare for things. Some of them are quite political, but if you can get past the politics, they're great books.
When you're saying things like no sex scenes, I mean, that's a whole thing right now. I know that people are talking about
for sure.
How many babies are going to be born 9 months from now because everyone's at home, right? And,
yep.
You know, and it's a supply thing too. Like, yeah. If better have birth control in your bag of tricks because otherwise you could have a baby in 9 months.
That is so the truth, Caroline.
That's an unintended consequence. Uh-huh. I know there's a lot of Katrina babies.
Yep.
And every time we have a hurricane here, we're like, oh, man.
It's true.
You can, like, chart it. There's going to be babies.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So let me ask you this. We've already kind of started down this road.
Yeah.
People are already closing schools. People are working from home. Is it too late to prepare?
Well, I guess it's too late when all the stores are closed. But like my husband got up and was out of the house at 7 o'clock. He needed to have a prescription filled and I forgot olive oil. So, and then I was like, oh, I think I need more, you know, cookies or whatever. So
like wine.
Yeah. But yeah. But that being said, it's really, really hard to get certain items now, and you have to think outside the box. Toilet paper, for instance. Who would have thought people would load up on so much toilet paper? Like, I'm not even quite understanding it myself that you need,
right.
Like, you know, 55 million rolls of TP. But here's the thing. If you can't find toilet paper, please don't take all the baby wipes because people who have kids need baby wipes. I think toilet paper was just invented, like, 1874 or something. I think I read that today. Get a couple of cheap washcloths. Get a bucket. Fill it with some water, just like moms used to do with the cloth diapers, you know, run a load of wash. Just think outside the box.
Nice. I love that advice. I know my sister was telling me that she couldn't find hand sanitizer anywhere. And she found that her compounding pharmacy nearby was actually making it and selling it. And so that would be a place that you wouldn't think to go to a compounding pharmacy looking for hand sanitizer.
Nope.
Or I know I saw it at places like Office Depot or Office Max, like places that need it in different settings that aren't your home.
Yep.
It's like there's a lot of different places to look.
Yep, absolutely. If you need hand sanitizer, it's 2/3 of a cup, 70% or more alcohol, and 1/3 of a cup of aloe vera gel.
And that's all you have to do, make your own, right?
A couple drops of essential oil so it smells good. And regular drinking alcohol, vodka's not going to work. Everclear will. But
good to know. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So vodka's no good because I've seen that all over Facebook. Vodka's no good.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Because it's not, it has to be at least 70 proof.
Oh, good to know. But Everclear's good.
Everclear kills everything, including brain cells.
Oh my God, right? Oh my God, that's hilarious. That's awesome. Okay, so let's start talking about our checklist.
Yeah.
What should we have? What is our essentials?
Okay, you need to have at least a 2-week supply of water. Now, I shared this before. It should be 1 gallon per person per day, plus your pets. A lot of people say, I don't drink a gallon of water a day. Neither do I. I don't either. But if your water, for some reason, were to be turned off, you would need water for hygiene as well. So
good point.
Yeah. So 1 gallon per person per day. Now, if you can't find bottled water, a lot of places it's already sold out, fill up the containers you have at home. Everybody has containers you don't even think about that you have at home. Empty out your Tupperware. This is broad spectrum. This is not this pandemic pandemonium. You know, this is broad spectrum. Any kind of an emergency, you can find things to fill with water. You definitely need water.
Okay.
Prescription drugs. Now, it might be a little late for this, but and I personally would not go into a doctor's office right now unless I were really, really sick. But if you have life-saving medications that you need to make sure you have extra. I know that a lot of insurance companies do not want to fill them. You may have to fill them outside of insurance if you could afford to.
Okay.
But I would definitely try to get some extra medication and also non-prescription drugs. Apparently, COVID-19 is not so bad for a lot of people. And it's just like having the flu or you don't feel well. So you want to have those kind of medications at home. You want to have cough and flu medicine and Tylenol and Advil and that kind of stuff. I personally keep records. I keep copies on a little disk drive of our insurance papers and, you know, our health information and stuff like that. We have a family plan in our family. My kids are older now. They're 21 and 18. So we all have a plan to know where everybody is, you know, what's going on. You want to have food and supplies for at least 2 weeks. But here's the thing. Don't run out and go buy Spam and, you know, dried beans and rice if that's not what you eat and you don't know how to cook it. you know, buy what you...
So true. You're just going to burn a bunch of rice and ruin
it. Absolutely. I went and bought a bunch of SpaghettiOs because I know that's what my son likes, you know?
Right.
We don't eat Spam.
That makes sense. Yeah. So basically do your same shopping, but just like on steroids,
yep.
Like, you know, up it by two or three times how much you would normally buy.
And remember, you know what I had forgotten myself. And I said to my husband, I said, "Hun, I need to go get more, blah, blah, blah." And he's like, "Why? We have plenty." And I was like, "Aiden's going to be home for a week." Actually, his school is now canceled. He goes to college two times a week. So it's canceled. He's going to be home every day. He's going to want to eat. So I said, "Oh, I have
right.
to feed him now." So you make sure you have that. You need cleaning supplies. Think about what you would do if somebody in your house got a bad flu. And what would you need for that? You're going to need Lysol. You're going to need, even if you can't use Lysol, like the spray Lysol, you use the floor cleaner. All those types of things you absolutely need. And here's something super important a lot of people don't remember. Pet foods. You need to think about your pets. I have... a bunch of animals, so I had to make sure that I had plenty of food. And to be honest, I just ordered more through Chewy.com because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm good and I have everything that I need.
Okay, so one of the things that I've been hearing about on Facebook is this concept of small network sharing. And that to me, tell me if I'm describing it correctly, it would be where you choose like a couple of people, maybe your neighbor, maybe a good friend, maybe family member, and you are going to share supplies in the event that it goes past the time that you have prepped for. What are the pros and cons of small network sharing?
Okay, so the pros are, if you're not prepared, then you have other people who are going to take care of you. The cons are, if you are prepared, other people are going to want your stuff.
Very true.
So that being said, there's always a way to help out. In the prepper community, there's a saying that says, one is none and two is one, which means always have two of something so that you have it around. You know, personally, I always picked up a couple of extra things so that I can help out for people who need it. But make sure that when you do help out other people, you need to make sure that you've taken care of your own family as well.
It's very put your own oxygen mask on first,
that's
right?
It.
And then put on your neighbors or friends.
100%. Like I said, this morning I sent my husband out to get some things and a neighbor needed a couple of things. And I happened to be on the phone with her. So I texted him. I'm like, "Hey, pick this up for so-and-so." And he was able to do that. So you help out when you can. Really, it is a good idea to have somebody in your back pocket. And this is the time that, you know, you can't go over and meet your neighbor and shake their hands. Don't shake anybody's hands right now. But you
should.
Yeah. But you should know who lives near you if you can, just to, you know, know who to keep an eye on and, you know, see who might need some help.
Right. I mean, a lot of us have maybe elderly in the neighborhood who might not be able to get out of the house.
Yep.
And even something as simple as knocking on the door, texting maybe is better,
yeah.
And saying like, "Hey, I'm here. You know, if you need something out of the attic or whatever, some back closet where you have your supplies or something, holler at me. I'll come over and get it for you." It might just be that. It might not even be having to give them your supplies, but maybe just a little bit of manpower.
That's absolutely right. It could also be just as important just to check in. This particular virus is harmful, seems to be, to the elderly population. So, you know, just check in every day. "Hey, how you doing? Do you need anything? Are you okay? Are you feeling okay?" You know, now they're losing their support systems, their senior center and their, you know, all the things that they normally do. You want to just give a check in and make sure that they're okay.
Absolutely. And it seems like those types of touch bases, you know, if someone says, "Well, you know, I've been kind of tired" or something, it's like someone might need to alert you. Like, you may not even be fully aware of what you're even feeling until someone else is like, "Hey, that seems like something you might want to get checked out." And then you're like, "You know what? Maybe I should."
For sure.
So, you know, I agree with you, especially the senior centers did close down quickly.
Yeah.
Same with home health workers aren't able to come out all the time now.
Yeah.
Or they may be stretched thin because they're needed in other areas more critical.
Yep.
And long distance family maybe would have flown here or done something, but now they feel like they can't. Definitely check in on neighbors. Text, we would say, right?
Yeah,
we want
absolutely.
To try to keep our distance a little
or
bit.
Or call. A lot of older people don't care to text or call. So, like, for instance, Caroline, my daddy lives in Texas, not too far from you, and I'm up here in Yankee Land in Connecticut, okay? So I can't check on my dad other than to call him. However, I do have a big network of cousins there, and I know the next-door neighbors, and I do, you know, if I can't reach my dad after a few texts or a couple of phone calls, I'll call his neighbor and say, "Hey, you know, Mr. Mitchell, have you seen my daddy? Is his truck there? Can you go knock on his door and check on him?" So long distance is really hard to take care of your parents when they're far away, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us, besides like food, cleaning supplies, and medication, those are like the three things that I feel like I would say probably, I don't know, what percentage of people do you think even think of those three things? Like 50%, 75%? How much do you think really realize
before,
medication, food, and cleaning supplies?
Before this? Before
yeah.
all we knew all this, I'd say 25%. People are
really
not,
and yeah. so like as of today, where yeah. like most people's schools are closed and stuff like that, do you feel like people still get it of like what supplies to get?
I am still hearing from people, it just blows my mind. They're like, it's just like the flu. It's not as bad as the flu. And I'm like, ah, what are you thinking? So I think they are beginning to get it. There are still the stalwarts that are like, I can't believe they're closing the schools and they're doing this and that. But I guess they don't understand the whole reason of flatten the curve so that to what we're trying to do is to stop a crazy, crazy situation like what's happening in Italy. If we can get a handle on it now, maybe we can stop it from becoming that bad.
Right. And so part of what you're saying about flatten the curve, from what I've read, tell me yeah. if this is like, since I'm like a lay person and not a full prepper, I am going to say that the way that I understand that is that we're trying to use proximity to one another to try to keep ourselves from going into an ER or going into a hospital, because if we inundate the hospital system, then there's other things too that are still going on. There's still car accidents, yep. there's still fires, there's still babies being born. Yep. There's still things happening where the hospital is still busy. Yep. And so if we spike it by all needing to go there for these different symptoms, rather than just stay home, isolate, don't even get yourself near anything like that, then we can flatten the curve. That's where the spike doesn't happen. Is that correct? Is that the way to interpret that?
That's pretty close. Yeah. So that, but you're there. That's two separate things. So to flatten the curve means let's stop this thing from spreading. Okay. So stop what you're doing, self-isolate, stay home, don't interact with other people, don't go touch things other people could be touching, so that hopefully we can get this virus to die down. And
would it be right to think of it almost like breaking a chain? Like if yep. you think of people holding hands, like what we're asking people to do is like let go of hands. Yep. So that way we just break the chain. It can't continue down.
Absolutely. That's 100% correct. That's right. So stay home and do as much as you can by yourself at home, even within families. Like, for instance, my husband has to go to work right now until he's told to work at home. So I set up in my garage, I parked his car outside, and I set up a sanitation station in which I put a coat rack out there. I put a little box that's got his slippers, and it's got Lysol, and it's got hand sanitizer. So when he comes home, he has to put his jacket outside, his bag outside. He changes his shoes. We may get to the point where I'll be like, strip down, buddy, and come in
right?
your skivvies. But, you know, use hand sanitizer before you even touch the doorknob. Come in, wash your hands right away, and then go in and change your clothes. And that's important because, you know, this virus, what they're showing is it can live for a long time. So
I had read that on hard surfaces, metal and plastic, that it can live up to 9 days.
That's insane if you think about that.
I know. My mom's an RN, and yeah. she was saying that RSV, so you know, as most yeah. most of us preemie mom knows, yeah. is like the devil. You know, like that's the one that's like the worst. And that lives on hard surfaces for 8 hours.
Right.
Nine days.
So think about this. Just put this in your head, and then you can get as psychotic as me, okay? So now David just went to the grocery store to pick up this one prescription that we don't get via mail. So he went into the grocery store, and he got that. He got a container of bleach and a couple of things for my neighbor. But who's to say that someone did not sneeze and didn't cover their hand properly, and now the droplets are in the air, and they have fallen onto his cart and on the floor, and he stepped on it on his hard-soled shoes. So now he brings all that home, and if he doesn't properly disinfect before he comes in the house, it's coming in the house with him.
I like the idea of like protecting your house, like having like a boundary line where yeah. you're like, okay, just because you're familiar, like you're my husband, doesn't right. mean you can't bring in germs. Like it's right. not a stranger danger situation,
not
you know?
Right.
And I think that that's something that I've heard people misunderstanding. There's that idea of like, so I shouldn't be around big crowds. I shouldn't be around strangers. But also, don't be having play dates and
no.
don't be gathering the kids in the cul-de-sac. This is not about like there's something wrong at the school. We're talking about there's something wrong with congregating together. And that's what we're trying to stop. I feel like there's a kind of a confusion on that. And I know that some parents are very overwhelmed with having kids at home. We're homeschoolers, as are you. So for us, having our kids around is not that big of a deal, but it's still for so many days and not having any extracurricular activities. I mean, normally we're going to sewing class and we're going to arts class and we're doing all these other things.
Yep.
To have those things closed down does be like, you're going to need to get out of my face. Like,
yeah.
ah. I mean, yesterday I was like, Jack, do you want to like hose down the patio furniture for a while? Like, go outside and spray something with the hose. Like, oh my God.
I told some of my non-homeschooling parents, friends, I'm like, do you know that cleaning and yard work is absolutely a homeschool lesson?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
They were like, really, really? I was like, for sure. But yeah, this is not the time for a pandemic party. No, this is not what's going on. It's not like, you know.
With hurricanes, we do that. Like, we will congregate. We will congregate in the cul-de-sac. Or, like, the electricity's out, we'll all hang around outside with flashlights and the kids will play tag and stuff.
Yep.
But this isn't that. And we don't need to be scared about that, but we need to be aware that this is a different type of thing that really most of us have never dealt with or even heard about, really. No. You know, maybe, like you said, books and movies, but the concept that we need to actually protect our bodies. Now, you being immune compromised, or our family, we have preemies. My mom had heart surgery. My brother's wife just had a newborn, so she's only 2 weeks old. You know, my grandma's 93. Yep. We are the people who get together every Sunday dinner. We won't be doing that because... Nope. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to expose each other, even though it's like, but they're familiar, but I don't want to not see grandma. It's like, yes, but the germs won't know she's your grandma. They'll still climb off you and get on your grandma.
I just had this conversation with my son, whose girlfriend. Now, you know, every school here is closed, you know, and she was sent home from college. All the colleges are closed. Everything is closed, basically. And he was like, I want to go out with her and we're going to go get breakfast and we're going to go here. And I'm like, nope. And he was like, and I was like, nope. I did allow him to go to her to bring her a few things, and then he's coming home. But there's no outside anything. They're just, you know, he's dropping something off and coming home. You know, at first he said, Mom, you're going a little over the top. This was before all of this stuff happened. And, you know, and I said, I'm not, Aiden. And here's the thing is that you will probably be fine. You're a young guy in pretty good health. You know, you're healthy. But how would you feel if you brought home this virus and I caught it and I got sick and I died?
Right.
And then he was like, oh.
Not good, Aiden. Yeah. Think again.
So that being said, he understands it. It's really hard to find that line, Caroline, where between panic and preparedness. This is something that's going through our prepper community a lot is like, it's really happening now. And what the heck? It's not like, there's a prepper writer that I follow, Daisy Luther. She writes The Organic Prepper. And she just wrote an article today. And she's like, it's here and it doesn't feel real. And it's like, yeah, for sure it doesn't. I mean, I'm happy that I'm prepared for it and I know what to do, but I'm heartbroken for the people who don't understand. So I'm spending as much time as I can talking to people and saying, hey, maybe you should think about doing this, or do you have enough blah blah blah. They're like, there's no more soup, and I'm like, is there canned chicken, is there chicken broth, is there broth?
Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about a little bit was the idea that you were mentioning about eating out, and that's something that again has been brought up, like why it's important that you have food at home, because this isn't about just not sitting in the restaurant. And and that part, I do feel like I want to kind of like gut check you with this, because or check my own gut on this, because what I've read is that most food workers don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. They can't afford to miss a day of work. Chefs in particular are notorious for working through being sick because they're hard workers and they're going to be in the kitchen no matter what.
Right.
And so those are the people that are handling your food.
Right.
There's no malice behind it. There's no not caring. It's that they absolutely can't afford to. They're not going to be able to pay rent. They're not going to be able to do whatever. And it matters in this particular industry. Even though, of course, across industries, there's people who are losing wages, but it matters there because they're handling your food and they're passing it out amongst the entire community.
Yep.
So when people say, oh, it's no problem, I'm just going to order in. You want to stop and be like, okay, think about what you're doing. You're just like your sanitation station. You can't spray down the pizza with Lysol, you know? So what did you just do? You know, think about it for a second. And I guess the word that comes to mind for me is like mindfulness. Like just think it through a couple steps. You don't have to be scared, but just be like, if this happens and then that happens and then that happens, okay, that's not a good idea. Let's not do step one. You know, like that's not going a good way.
That's the perfect way to put it. And you're absolutely right. I'm heartbroken for these people because what do you do if you're a single mom and you're a waitress? Yeah. And your first grader now doesn't have school, and you live someplace where you don't know anybody. Like, I can't even wrap. I'm just heartbroken thinking about these people. It's terrible. But no, there's no eating out happening here. There's no prepared food happening here. I happen to love to cook, and I can, and I dehydrate. I make a lot of my own foods. So,
you know, I hate doing that. And so this is a challenge for me. I am trying, but we're trying to kind of if there's a way to put a positive spin on some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. One of the things we're doing is, again, that mindfulness. I mean, so I had to actually like meal plan and think about a menu and think about, well, what supplies do I actually need? Because we do need to cook full meals and have leftovers and that kind of thing. Yep. Is that going too far about the restaurants and stuff?
Absolutely.
Is that worried part too much?
No, I think you're 100% on par. I think that's perfect. I feel terrible because it's such an awful time to be a small business. There's a friend of mine just opened up a cafe a couple of weeks ago, and she had to close it down because, you know, she's had to postpone it. However, our small business association is giving out grants to keep small businesses open here. So that's pretty amazing.
And that's a wonderful transition into the resources that are available out there. I know that here in Houston, our Houston Food Bank is offering quarantine food packs. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have food available to you, or if you were not prepared, there's still resources out there. You do need to contact them, but you can get a whole pre-packed case of food and prepared items for you so that you can stretch to this next point. And that's kind of the thing for most of this, right? It's not like this is forever. We're just trying to stretch to the next point where hopefully things might get a little worse at first, but we know this is going to pick back up. I mean, we know the human race will continue on. Yeah. So we need to just stretch it and figure out what to do. And so these are like stopgap measures. Are you aware of other resources that are out there?
Well, I know my personal, in my town, I know of resources. We have something called Camilla's Cupboard, which we have year long to help provide food for youngsters that are at school. Sometimes kids, the only meal they get every day is lunch at school. So
Our local schools are doing this really cool thing where you can do a drive-through where they're actually, like, if you're a parent, you can drive through, like, up to the front of the school, and someone will hand you out, like, it's like breakfast and lunch, what the kiddos would have gotten that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we will provide, I mean, Camilla's Cupboard will provide food for people who need it, and our food banks also, and our mayor. We have the best mayor in the world, and he is collecting food, and, you know, you can order food on Amazon on their food lists and send it over.
Yeah, and I was even seeing, like, places like Omaha Steaks was offering 50% off right now.
Stop
and so
it.
That's a place where you could order.
I didn't know that. I'll go right online.
Yeah. So you can get yourself some food and get some, you know, prepared meals to at least, you know, it doesn't have to be every day, you know, a soup out of a can or something, you know, like you can, again, think outside the box. There's really great places like that, that you can get food. They're trying, it seems, to meet the need right now.
They are. And don't forget to try to help your small businesses if you can. Like, okay, we're not going to go out for dinner, but if you find yourself with a little bit of extra money, maybe get a gift certificate from one of your local restaurants.
That is an awesome idea, Wendy. I super duper love that because that's like one of those tips that's like people are like, oh, I'm so sad that they're flailing and then they just go about their lives.
Right. Well,
You're like, no, but I love that idea of like take that $20 you would have bought dinner and buy a gift card and at least then they have the cash to keep running.
Right. And something to keep them going. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And
love that.
You know, it's different self-quarantining than it is living in a situation in which all hell broke loose. Like you said, in a hurricane, everybody gets together, everybody shares, and it's different. You can't do that now. So you got to figure out how to take care of your family, but still keep an eye out. Like you said, this is not an extinction level event. Life's going to carry on. We just have to let this thing die down. So just hunker in your bunker and get ready for, you know, for a little while.
I love that, Wendy. I think that is a perfect ending for this. We are going to have part two where we're going to talk to you more about mental and emotional health, any type of resources and things that you might need for that. Additionally, we're going to post the resources that we talked about on here today and checklists, all that kind of good stuff over on Pod Clubhouse. You can check it out there on Twitter, Instagram, our website, Facebook, all that good stuff. Thank you so much for coming out today, Wendy, and talking with us, being prepared and not panicked.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you. Have a good one, Wendy.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
I'm going out to the store. Got to go get some more toilet paper and spam. When it goes and hits the fan, I'm sorry I have to ask. Baby, put on your mask. Gonna hunker in my bunker with you. Gonna hunker in my bunker with you. Gonna hunker in my bunker with you.
Clubhouse.